Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kayla Thompson.
My name is Adam Lavaz. Thanks for joining us for episode 51 on the 11th of February 2016. And mate, we must admit, we were talking off air. The normal program has well and truly kicked in, hasn't it?
Well, yes. And if it hasn't, it's kicking in now, Adam. And by the time most people listen to this episode, week four will be starting in Victorian schools, and it will well and truly have kicked in there. Lots of schools having three-way conferences with parents next week, Adam.
That's starting for you, isn't it?
It is. It's starting for us. I guess it's a chance to meet the parents, but you know, you're supposed to go over learning goals, so we're all kind of feverishly trying to get that all organised. I think, you know, what are we going to show and talk about
with
parents?
Tough gig, mate. Tough gig to come up with learning goals so early in the year when you're, like you said, we're just coming off the Starting Right program and getting to know your students. And I know for you as well, you know, last year it might have been okay. You had a lot of the same students that you could feed off that from last year. But coming into grade three and fresh students completely, you do need a little bit of a period to get to know them first.
You do. But I think we just have to take it as it is. It's next week and you just have to go in and do what you can, Adam. I think sometimes we kid ourselves into thinking that we're going to solve the world's problems with like before the three-way conferences, don't we?
Yeah.
And look, you mentioned the normal program kicking in, and I'd just like to say, just as the Cruel Sea told us back in the 90s, Adam, with their song of the year, the honeymoon is over for all year-level teams now. That kind of fun time. Oh, new team, hello, you know, like strange phone numbers.
How are your holidays?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be fun. We're going to do this year. And now we're all kind of... Oh, the reality's kicked in and heads down and...
no one cares. All those phone numbers that were exchanged have quickly been deleted. You know?
Or at least any texting that's going on is purely you know, about school.
It is, yes.
There's no, let's catch up for a happy hour on Friday. I'm dead on Friday.
It's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, as we've spoken about for yourself, you know, you've had a tough start to the year with your room and things like that. It's all of a sudden that the work program, you know, starting on, it's really good to get to know your kids, and all of a sudden it ramps up. And even though you're expecting it, it still catches you by surprise how quickly it goes up and how much the kids actually want to get into it too. I mean, they need that structure as well.
And we talked about, you know, the bubble bursting. I think last year we said that there's a time in term one when it kind of feels like the bubble kind of bursts, all those fantastic ideas and new programs you start. There's a moment when you kind of go, we need to do this. We haven't covered this yet, you know, and sometimes old habits kind of come back in the old classroom routine. But we are, as I'm sure you are, and lots of our listeners are, we're right smack bang in the middle of, this is the school's vision for the year. This is what we're doing and all these new things. And look, yeah, it does. Your brain gets full. Yeah. And I've heard a lot of staff saying this week, my brain is full. Look, they're not complaining as such, they're just saying it's full and I kind of need to almost stop and try and process something before I go mad.
Yeah, because the expectations are going up, aren't they? The expectation of all the testing and the planning and, you know, like you said, the AIPs and, you know, school performance plans and things. There's a lot of pressure from all areas of the school.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm trying to think back 5 years. I didn't feel like this 5 years ago, that's for sure. You know, you feel much more, like I said, the brain is full.
And I know that we've got some guests this year that we want to have on the podcast. And I think that question, just to finish off our introduction, is what is a question that I want to ask. You know, where you and I are about 10 years in the job now. And, you know, I'd like to get some more people in to talk about how things have changed. We've touched on it with some past guests.
Yep.
Because things have changed, haven't they? Things have definitely gone up, you know, in terms of...
And I think a lot of it for the better. I think, you know, you would talk to other people and maybe talk about the planning aspect and the expectations and this. It's gone up much for the better, but at the same time, you talk about a pile and about, you know, the continual adding to the pile, but not a lot's been taken off. You know, it seems like lots been added on and nothing's been taken off. And now the pressure has actually grown to fever pitch, I suppose.
Yeah, I think admin stuff particularly. Yeah. And I'm sure, look, it's like that for leadership. You know, we're not saying it's just a teacher thing. So we've got, as usual, a nice range of topics tonight. So should we get into it, Adam?
Mate, let's go. So, mate, the first topic we want to talk about tonight is, I guess it's promoting apps in the classroom. And I want to go back to a discussion that we had in the staff room at my school on Friday. Some students actually wanted to put up a post. We have clubs at our school where the kids can start a club, you know, a colouring in club, a dance club, to encourage students to join them and do things at lunchtime. And it's really, really good because, as you know, some kids find it difficult at lunchtime to make friends. It's a good opportunity for them to do something they love. Some of the students wanted to actually put up a poster to start a Clash of Clans group. Now, Clash of Clans being an app that you can get on iOS and Android and things that, you know, there's clans and there's you build your army up and do those things. And they were encouraging kids outside of school to join them, to join their clan and to be a part of their clan and to share, you know, resources and armies and do those things like that and get it out there. Now, we were a little bit of a loss because it sort of came up and it got put to me as well. What do you think we should do? And it was kind of a thing of, this has never happened before. And we did a little bit of research and we, you know, it came up that Clash of Clans is 13 and over. And we kind of had to sit there and go, is that outside the school's responsibility? If we have that up there and we're seen to be promoting an app that is not necessarily educational and is meant to be played by people who are 13 and over, is that outside something that we... could we get into trouble for promoting that, I guess?
Yeah, great. Oh, million-dollar question. But I bet there's people out there listening or some of the experts out there, people who we know even, Adam, who are probably saying, no, it's not the million-dollar question. There's ways around it. And that's where we'd like people to come in and help us. My first thinking on, I'm thinking about our experience. I've got another, before I answer it, another question.
Yeah.
And we have talked about this before. How many, is this something that they're expecting the kids will do outside of school? Or is
So this is purely outside of school. So it's a game that can be played, it's played obviously on the iPad. And what they do when they join a clan, they join it and, you know, they can share resources and go to someone else's clan and help them out and do these sorts of things. The problems arise in things.
Do they have devices though? And I should know this, but do they have devices that they're going to be using at school where they could use it, like BYOD, for example?
No. So look, BYOD has been discussed. We haven't gone down that path yet. Right. We have introduced iPads this year, but obviously the iPads are going to be looked after by us and have purely educational games on there. That's something we could go down. I mean, I think we've been talking about setting up clubs and a coding club and doing things like this that will promote that things. You know, there's Minecraft, there's all these things, but there's a lot of little things you want to get around. And I think people today are more aware of and more willing to question the introduction of these apps and say, well, no, there's a bit of violence on there, and actually come up and speak up about it. So you've got to really navigate yourself around and make sure that you've ticked all the boxes, I guess, before introducing it.
Yeah, well, now that you've said all that, my thinking is that this is probably a no.
Yeah.
Not a negative no, saying no way to the kids, but to me, because it's not connecting to anything that's kind of happening at school, that it's something that I would put back to the parents. That's what I'm thinking, and saying, we've got a bunch of students, maybe there could be something... some sort of communique sent out to parents that a lot about talking about this app called Clash of Clans, and that maybe it's something that parents have to decide on, because it's not because you're not using it at school at all, then perhaps, and it is 13 years and over, that's a decision for the parents, because we know that some parents are happy to have their kids on Instagram, whether they know it's 13 years and over or not, but that's their decision, not the school's.
That's right, and we can't promote that and say come and join their Clash of Clans group, because it's a free app. Yeah, the kids can get on there and download that. You know, they don't have to have access to, you know, the money and the credit cards and things. It's a free app. There are in-app purchases, and then there's another problem altogether. Yeah. But it's a free app to be downloaded, and they can start it. The other problems arise in the fact that...
The school could give some advice, though, on that. So,
true,
so
very true.
So if this is... Because you could see this as a positive thing. Like you said, it's a strategy game. And this could be a positive thing about kids working together. Mm. So the school can give, I guess, ideas and tips to parents on... maybe how it can be navigated, like you said, like beware of the in-app purchases. Yes. Make sure that you're aware of the game, learn the game a bit, so you know what your kids are doing.
Yeah, I love that, and I think that's where the problem arises, because you get both levels. You either get the parents who kind of let them do it and off they go, or the ones that really police it hard and see a problem and shut it down straight away. The thing that the discussion that came up as well, that I thought, you know, the 13 over to play, which made it disappointing that we couldn't necessarily get behind it, even though I don't think we would get behind it, is the inclusiveness. I really loved the fact that a couple of these boys wanted to start this club and include anyone in the school who wanted to be a part of it. Now, as you and I well know, there are students who find it hard to connect to others, you know, in a social aspect, who love their computers, who love their games. What a wonderful opportunity for them to make some more friends and connect to their peers by joining this clan and this app and making some friends that could develop further into other things in the schoolyard.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I keep going back to the fact that, because I'm getting this picture of, like, this could really engage some, let's say, boys, for example. And if you had the devices at school, it could be something like a club. And wouldn't that be great? And that's where your permission would really need to come in from parents. But at this stage, I think it's something where the school would give advice, and it's parents' decisions whether they do it or not.
And that could be an information evening. Look, you know, tonight we're going to look at a couple of apps that the students are playing these days. That's with Clash of Clans. There's all sorts of apps going around. You know, there's but there are other apps as well that aren't 13 and over that promote, you know, you make a farm, or you nurture an animal, or you do these sorts sorts of things that that don't require that you can still join your friends on. But Clash of Clans is the big one.
Well, I think the one-to-one, which you don't have yet, comes in to play more with this if the kids all have devices at school. Because then the question would be, how are they going to be allowed to do this at school? And my thinking would be that it has to be still in a controlled kind of environment. But then there's people out there who are doing more BYOD and have been doing it for a long time, or no more. Just to finish or to move on to something else, I want to hark back to a comment that was on our Facebook page last week from Sam Irwin in regards to Dropbox. Because in past years, I've used Dropbox. Now, that's 13 years over. Now, I've used it with grade 3 and 4 students, and this is going back many years, purely just for that extra storage and so we could share things, along with Edmodo. And I never thought, and as Sam rightfully, and thanks for commenting, Sam, put there that as long as you cover it and send permission notes home and make it clear and parents sign and give you the all clear, then it's okay. And I think that's kind of the policy process from the department at the moment with stuff like that.
Yeah. And excuse me, I think that's something I think the school would have to do. If it was something that the kids really wanted to do, then why couldn't you send home a note and say, look, this is the club they want to start. Here's a bit about the game. Here's where you can go and visit something. If you'd like to know more, please come and see such and such teacher who knows all about it. You can speak to them about it and then make your own decision at home or where it is going to be, whether or not they're going to have it. So look, mate, we do want to finish and move on to the next topic. I'd love to hear actually from other teachers who have those clubs at school, particularly, you know, Minecraft is another one. The kids on the iPads absolutely love it, and it does promote a lot of good things, but again, it does have aspects of it that there is a bit of violence and things in there. So what are the protocols that you put in place, and how have you turned it into a positive thing for your school?
For our second topic tonight, Adam, I want to touch on data. I'm sure your school's into it at the moment, and I know mine is. We're trawling through the data from 2015 for lots of reasons, to help with setting up a school's vision in their AIP and also setting up our individual education plans for our students. And I just wanted to touch on that because obviously you're looking at the results that were given by previous teachers. And one thing that we've noticed and at our school is that There were a group of students who were perhaps above expected level at the end of 2015, and then they may have been above the expected level in the middle of 2015, and then may have not moved at the end of the year. Now they may still be above expected level, but it's kind of like they've plateaued, and I think that's probably an issue that a lot of teachers, hopefully listening, are going, "Ah, yeah, we've got those," or "I've been in a position where I felt like I haven't been able to move a student who is not a struggler." And so we've been talking about, you know, why is this and what's happening. And I know last year I touched on the learning management system called Central that we're using, which has all our I can statements on there from the curriculum, where it's helping us track the students, and this. That process is meant to kind of take that out. So a student might achieve a goal box at the end of the year, but when they go to their new teacher the following year, they look at that goal box and say, okay, they achieved it, but they only achieved 5 out of the 8 goals. So they need to still go back and work on those 3 goals. Now, firstly, I want to ask you though, what are your thoughts on when you do get a student who either has plateaued, who's above the expected level, or, and I know this is a topic that's you've been thinking about lately, or a student that you get who is something like 18 months above the expected level. What are your thoughts on those two things?
Look, two things come to mind. The first one, and they're great questions, mate, and I think they're things that everyone comes across. You get a new group of kids, you sit down and start looking at their results, and you know, you look at where they were and where they're to go next. And I think mentioning Central about the I can statements makes it really clear. The first thing that comes to mind is for those kids that have plateaued is it's a challenge. It's a challenge to go, okay, they've plateaued. Why have they plateaued? And not necessarily maybe the teacher wasn't teaching the right things, but is there something going on? Is there something, you know, outside of school that's going on that's hindering them? Is it just they're finding it really difficult to understand the topics? And I think every child has a right, and people may disagree with me, every child has a right at some stage in their learning to plateau just for a little while, for 6 months. I think it's going to happen to every kid. I mean, you want all kids to improve, obviously, continue to go, but sometimes you look at a kid and go, you know what? They took a 2 month holiday. They found this one a little bit difficult. They just didn't get that bit about inferring, etc., etc. I can't move them on, and that may be the only time in their, you know, their student lives that's going to happen. So it's a really tough one.
It is. If you've got the evidence, and you've kind of explained some of the evidence there, if you've got the evidence clearly there in front of you to say these are the clear reasons why this student hasn't moved, they haven't gone backwards. I think well, it should be okay.
Mm.
And something like having the I can statements there and the goals and and tracking their learning should help with that.
Absolutely.
But then there'd be a problem if they didn't move. Now, let's just touch on the students coming to you, particularly coming sort of at the end of the early years, the end of the junior school, into the middle school, year three, year four, 8, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, coming up to you 18 months above the expected level. Now, if you are, I've always thought this, and I remember in my early years of schooling, we were kind of discouraged from putting kids 18 months above. Mm. If you had to, you had to really know.
Mm.
12 months above, you were kind of, well, you know, there might be a few things I still need to work on, but if you knew that they were kind of just really confident in these areas, you could put them there. Mm. 18 months was almost like a no-no. And now things are changing. It's kind of like, if they really are there and you can show it, then put them there. But I think you have to be absolutely sure. And the goals need, and you have to have covered that material in that year level, 18 months above, to put them there, I think.
But and you've touched on it really well there, the fact that they can show it. So to me, to put them 18 months ahead and whatever the curriculum is asking, they need to show it consistently.
Mm.
They can't just show it once. Mm. I mean, they could have pulled that answer out of their back pocket. Okay, they might have shown a little bit of work and they might have got there. But you need to consistently show that over and over and over again. And I know that I've had discussions where a kid who's, you know, in grade one was sort of at foundation 0.5, in the first half of the year, wanting to be moved to a level two.
Mm.
And you kind of go, there's no possible way that a kid of the age of six, and particularly you spend a bit of time starting, right? Term one's always sort of 8-9 weeks. Mm. You know, you start your reports maybe 5 weeks, 6 weeks into term two. There's no way they've shown 18 months of growth in that time. And it's kind of like, well, they've shown it once, therefore I'm going to stick them there. I don't agree with that. I think at the end of the year, if they've shown that consistently, you know, week after week after week after week, in all the pre-tests and all the post-tests, then put them there. But if they've done it once or twice, I don't think that's justification for putting them up that far.
Well, that's where, and that's where, I guess, for us as teachers, and this is something that we're all trying to work on, is how to cater for that really diverse range you've got in your class, which grows and grows and grows as the kids get older. So once, for us primary teachers, once you hit grade five, grade six, that spread you've got in your classroom data is pretty big. That bell is really wide, isn't it? So yeah, I guess you have to think, if you are going to put a student 18 months above, have you catered for them in the classroom? Mm. Or are you just... Because I think in the past, and teachers could... I'm sure there's plenty of teachers out there who would say, look, to themselves, we probably didn't cover everything, but this particular student, I just know, my gut feeling, that they are miles above the others. Mm. So I'm going to move them up because that will represent where they are at. But I probably haven't gone through with a fine tooth comb. And I think if you look at what we've got to cover, and any non-teachers out there listening, if you look at the goals that we have to cover in the middle and the senior years of primary school, it's astronomical.
Yeah, it's huge.
As I'm sure it is for secondary. Yeah. It's very difficult.
Yeah. And then can I just touch on as well, those teachers that I think sometimes they aim to impress, look how far my kids are ahead, look at all this sort of stuff. I think it really puts the pressure on the next year's teacher because you can...
Can I interrupt? This is an interesting one. I know you've talked about this off air and obviously, you know, you're not going to go into detail, but you're saying that there are teachers out there who will mark students up so their data looks better for impressions.
Now, I need to clarify, that's in my opinion. That's purely my opinion from what I've dealt with and what I've seen and over my 10 years of teaching.
Yeah, I'm not doubting it.
It's to me because you get them and you see how far ahead they are and you do something with them and you can clearly see from the beginning, okay, yes, they are ahead. There's no way they're 18 months ahead. Now, what I'm talking about here is when you get to do their report, you're in a really sticky situation. Do you try really hard and you know, bang things into them in the hope that they move that 6 months? Or do you run the risk of coming back to that plateauing, they stay where they are, you know, through, say, for example, maths or reading or whatever it is, and risk having irate parents coming up and going, why haven't they moved ahead? What's going on? And then you're stuck with that situation. You don't want to look these parents in the face and go, well, I'm sorry, that's last year's teacher's fault, because that's not our job. You don't lay the blame at any other teacher's feet.
No.
You don't drop your colleagues in it or things like that, but you have to come up
with... That's a parent's job.
That's exactly right. But you have to come up with some way to explain to them, well, I'm sorry they've plateaued, you know, and all these sorts of things, without trying to... Yeah, you know, you don't want to make you sound like you haven't done that. It's a really sticky situation.
It is. And look, just to finish off, it always worried me in the past what performance pay would do to teachers wanting to maybe, you know, put kids at a certain level just to make their data look good when they come into their end of year review. So a huge topic, lots more to talk about with it. I'm sure there'll be some people who would like to comment, and we don't pretend to know exactly what we think is right. We're just pondering what we're experiencing at the moment.
So, mate, for the final topic tonight, we actually wanted to touch on what's happening over at Frankston High. A mum's pulled her son out over transgender awareness rules. And what's actually happened is, during a science class, they've actually announced... Now, I'd love to know the context of this, but they've announced that next year, students are boys can come to school wearing dress school dresses, and that, you know, they can use the toilet, I guess, that is their current gender. So if a boy is now, you know, defines themselves as a girl, that they can go and use the girls' toilets and so forth. She's obviously taken offence to this and taken her kid out of school. Now, there's a lot of issues surrounding this. Now, it's to do with the Safe Schools Coalition, which we have brought up before on the podcast, and they do a lot of good things about the equality, you know, trans, you know, gender equality, and being very inclusive about that in school. Now, there's some... You know, we need to discuss two questions I want to throw to you. Number one, is this a real overreaction from the mum? And two, what do you think a school's role should be in gender equality and how far, I guess, a school should go with it, I suppose?
Well, my question is, why has she gone to the media?
Yeah, true.
Or did they come to her? That's my question back.
Yeah.
Let's leave that one for now, because that's probably a question we ask a lot when people go to the media to complain about schools. But you talked about context. Now... Again, we know that articles can be... They're written by someone else who wasn't there. They're reporting. So, but it says that she said, like you said, her son was told that he could wear a dress to school. Now, she's saying, what does that tell him? Now, I'm sure that whoever was taking that lesson... As we said, this Frankston High is a Safe Schools Coalition school, as is at least one of the schools you and I work in, as is a lot of schools in Victoria. And then by... I think it's by 2018... The current Labor government is mandating that all government schools have to be part of the Safe Schools Coalition, as they should, I think.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. And but I just think someone who's trained wouldn't just say, your son... I mean,
no.
Just, what is she saying?
Well, the teacher just stood up and went, so everyone, I've got an announcement to make today. All boys next year are welcome to wear school dresses. I mean, that's not going to be... Obviously, there was a lesson going on where that was part of a discussion that was brought up. He's gone home and said, oh, the science teacher said today that boys could wear dresses next year, and she's pulled the old yank.
Yep.
I mean, it's ridiculous, I think.
She mentions that her son has a disability, and I think it's a vision disability, and that... He's struggling with his times tables, and he doesn't need to deal with this. But this is life, you know. And this is life being in a society, and we all have our differences, and we're all equal. Now, the other thing that she complained about was, they're telling my children, this is quote, to call transgender children by their requested pronoun. What is wrong with that? Like, come on. Now, obviously, if a really young student is already identifying kind of, you know, on the fence at a young age... The parents are going to be behind, like most families are going to be behind this whole, not just physical transition, but social transition. So it's not as if a student, and it might be, but I don't imagine a student, particularly a young student, showing up to school without any kind of consultation with their families and just saying, you have to call me a boy's name now. It's not just that cut and dry.
What harm's that going to do? So a boy who now identifies as a girl who was Simon before wants to be called Amanda. What difference does that make? Like, I can't call you Amanda. It makes me feel awful. Yeah. What difference does it make what name? And there's so many intergender names anyway, like a Jamie, for example, that can be both boy and girl. What difference does it make? I kind of feel like they're blowing it out of proportion. But before we go back to you, Rick, I know you want to say a little bit more on this. What is the school's role, though? Is the school's role enough to say that we are inclusive, that we really promote equality and that all people are welcome and we leave it at that? Or does it need to be... Do we need to have those lessons in there to promote it and to teach kids about it? What do you think?
I think it has to be in there. If we're going to teach things about the way to respect your bodies, like, and I'm talking about the puberty classes here, then that has to be all part of it. And I think students need to know that because we, you know, again, I come back to this when I was growing up, that when I was, you know, because times, were, you know, we were growing up in the 80s, it was very different, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
In terms of what you thought of people maybe who were, or, you know, what you knew about people who were homosexual or transgender. We didn't even know about that when we were young, did we?
No.
But it's, again, it's not a choice. These people aren't making a choice. And that's the important thing. These kids now, they're not making a choice. And if we make it like... That's what they've done, and kind of, you know, make them feel out of, you know, outside the group, so to speak. And this is where we get, you know, kids who are growing up with depression and unhappy about feeling undervalued. And it was great to see, and I don't want to But there's so many more. Just go and look at the article. There's so many more quotes. And apparently this mother's in mourning because she loves this school. She went to this school herself about what's going on. I mean,
that doesn't love it enough to stick by it and work out the problems. We'd just rather yank her kid, mind you.
And I mean, and this is no... I mean, it's not a problem. Is it? I mean, it shouldn't be even used as a... Like, that word shouldn't even be used. But I really like the response. Obviously, the Herald Sun must have gone to the government. The government's response is... You know, fully support schools and fully support the Safe Schools Coalition. Labor made the election commitment to bring this important program to every government school, and I'm all for that. And again, Herald Sun knew that they needed to get, you know, a bit of sensationalism, so they've gone to the Christian lobby, who again say that the Safe Schools Coalition are calling this they're disguising this as anti-bullying, but indoctrinating kids about different forms of sexuality. Now, come on.
Like, now,
again,
Christians,
it's just equality.
Don't even get me started on that, because, you know, the Christian beliefs and the Christian teachings is inclusiveness of everyone. Didn't God love everyone? So we should love anyone of transgender who identifies as homosexual or anything like that. So shouldn't the Christian people be getting behind it and saying, no, we want everyone to be inclusive rather than trying to pot it? Very mixed messages there. But what I want to finish with, mate, is this final quote from the article. And it says, discrimination, harassment and bullying have no place in Victorian schools, and it is up to all of us to establish safe and inclusive learning environments for every one of our students. And I don't think there's a teacher on this planet who would disagree with that.
All right, Adam, it's your first anecdote for 2016. Off you go.
It is, mate. Thank you very much. I actually want to talk to you tonight about natural disasters at school.
Right.
Now, when I talk about natural disasters at school, I'm talking about things that happen rarely that throw the kids into hysteria. Now, something that happened just a couple of days ago, we turned up at school, I think it was on Monday, and no power. Now, the power was out at the school, threw the kids into disarray. They didn't know what to do with themselves. Teachers as well, you know, you all of a sudden you realise, well, the internet's not working, the photocopier is not working, you know, it's, you're all over the shop. But the kids couldn't handle it, so they're coming into the classroom. I reckon my 1-2s in the space of 15 minutes told me 27 times, gee, it's dark in here, or yes, I know, guys, well, the power's out, it's not working, hopefully it'll come back on soon. So what are we going to look at today? Yes, such and such. Yeah, it's dark in here, isn't it? Yes, I know it's dark in here. You know, they go on and on about it. And then I've got a digital clock. I've got a digital clock in the classroom to go with the wall clock. You know, you had those differences.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Kept reminding me every couple of minutes that, Miss Lavars, the power's not back on yet because the digital clock's still off. Is it? Wonderful. That will tell me when it's back on and we'll be okay. You do a little bit more, it's still not on. You know, I know that. Only tell me when it's back on. You know, things like that. It's just things that happen, it's those rare things that happen at school that throw the kids out, and it kind of lets them go hog wild a bit. Do you have any stories of that happening at school?
Well, I gave you one last week, Adam,
first day,
that's for sure. Yep. But yeah, you've got, I mean, the things we touched on last week, like the flooding and things like that, they definitely do it. The clocks, absolutely. Power outage, absolutely. Fire drills, for some reason. Even though sometimes you might warn the kids that there's going to be a fire drill today, sometimes that throws them. You know, they'll be
that sound, and the hands over the ears.
Yeah.
What do I do now? Well, I told you what to do just 2 minutes ago. They forget it all.
Do you know what? I must admit, and this is a bit naughty, Adam, but there was one day where, and some people will know this, but you and I both know the classic fire drill scene from Fawlty Towers. One day when I just saw, for a bit of a laugh, I just, you know, I said, right, the fire drill is today. Actually, it's going to be soon. And then, you know, about 5 minutes later, the drill started. Mm. And I couldn't help it, but I just did, like, the kids all looked at me. I mean, to their credit, I remember they stopped. This was grade five. They stopped and looked, and they were kind of like, where do we go? And I went, fire, fire. I just yelled it out. And I tell you what, they screamed.
Really?
It was like, it was probably the wrong thing to do. I know any parents out there, don't report me. But I must admit, that was a lot of fun. I tell you what, as soon as you said natural disasters, and I'm not trying to be too facetious here, someone breaking wind in class. We've talked about it before.
We have.
Talking about natural disasters.
Yeah.
If it's big enough and loud enough and smelly enough, it can just rip the place to
It does. And I think you'll
rip the lesson to shreds.
I think you'll find as you go back to grade three, and I've gone back to the younger ones, they do it far more often. They can't hold it as much.
No, they
don't have that maturity. They just, if they've got a fart, off they go, and they'll look around at each other.
This year have already outscored my year sixes last year just in the space of 2 weeks with how many they
And on those plastic chairs, you can hear it down the hallway.
Yeah.
Now, last one of the natural disasters too before it finishes, hail. Now, it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen often at school. But if it starts hailing, they're up out of their chairs. Oh. Look, it's hot. Can we go outside and get some? Well, no, it's hailing. You're going to get wet. Oh, look at it. When it stops, can we go and get it? Well, it'll be melted by the time you get out there. You can't sit them down there looking out the windows. It's unbelievable.
Thunder's the same. If you've got the windows open on a summer's day and a clap of thunder, it is bedlam. Genuinely, I've had some kids just jump under the table. It's like, we're being bombed.
Yep. And but then they want to tell you stories about it. Mr. LaVaz, there was a time when I, was out at a farm and there was thunder there. What was there? Oh, that's great. They love telling you the stories. But look, natural disasters is what I'm calling them. But if you've had any of those problems at school or anything else happened that we haven't mentioned, as always, we love to hear your stories. So, mate, that brings an end to episode 51. Another really good episode, mate. We've enjoyed talking about the topics tonight. And as always, you can find us in a variety of places. You can find us on Facebook, Podomatic. You can find us on our blog, a variety of places. And we'd love if you could share the Two Regular Teachers links and continue to get us out there to as many teachers as possible.
Yeah, it's nice to see we had another follower hit us on Podomatic this week. And I know someone on iTunes. So obviously you can get it from there as well. So we appreciate all that. So we'll be back. Well, it is three-way learning conferences next week, Adam. But I think I'll need a podcast, I think, after
that. You think you might need a podcast after that? Well, then we'll be here, mate. So from me, Adam LaVaz.
Me, Rick Kayla Thompson, and we've both been Two Regular Teachers.